Well, let's see. We're coming to Judah. Now, they didn't necessarily know all the facts around the Messiah's birth. They knew about the Messiah's birth. Daniel told them. But they didn't have all the scriptures like the Jews did. So they come, and I've lost the stars. I've lost my map. What do I do? Well, it's going to be Judah. We're going the right direction. Everything looked good. Let's see. Jerusalem is a spiritual, economic, and religious center of all Judah. He's the Messiah. He's going to be born king of the Jews. Maybe we should go to the palace first. Exactly what they did. They went to see Herod. Where is this who will be born king of the Jews? They expected an answer. They didn't get it from Herod. Herod went to the chief priests and the scribes. He found out where it was going to be. Okay, comes back and tells them. Now, when you go find him, tell me so I can go worship him too. So, what do we have? We have these people seeking. Why did God pull away that star? He pulled that star away for a while because he wanted to announce his birth to everybody. It made perfect sense for them to go to Jerusalem. When they went to Jerusalem and asked where Messiah would be born, he has just announced that birth to the political leaders and the religious leaders. God has his reasons. So, finding the answer, they now go to go to Bethlehem, and they see the star again. And they're ecstatic. They're joyful. They come in and they find the Christ child. Now, finding the Christ child, once again, Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, going to put forth this eternal kingdom. You would think they would expect to come to some sort of big house, come to some sort of big palace. Nope, they saw the star. Okay, the star is there. God's will. They're coming to probably a very, very poor house. These are very poor people. Do they have any doubt? They knock on the door, they come in, and they give the gifts. They responded to God's answer. They didn't look for something that man expected. They received God's answer, and they accepted it. Now, God may stop light for a short time to test faith and provide help for others, like they did here. Well, they tested their faith. The light stopped. They went to the palace. No, he's not here. That's where we expected him. Well, the light came on. They went to a very poor house, and they came in, and they worshiped. Now, you got to think about these. We don't know how many wise men there were. For those of you who failed that question in the test on Friday. We don't know how many wise men there were, but they would have been coming in full glory. They would have come in, not necessarily royal robes, they were more of a wise men, not kings like we think of, but they would have come in glory with people attending them, with very fancy, in our terms, very fancy camels and things like that. No, they wouldn't have been coming in Volkswagens. They'd been coming in far better cars if it was today. And they're coming to this person who are very, very meanly dressed. No, far beneath their stature. And they open the door and they immediately go to that Christ child and they immediately bow and worship this one that by earth standards would be far beneath them, showing that they trusted God. And what did they give him? Well, first of all, they gave him gold, fit for a king. They gave him frankincense, often used in worship, fit for a prophet. And they gave him myrrh, which is a very expensive spice used to embalm the dead as the priest who had his own sacrifice. So we see in these gifts, the prophet, priest, and king, that the wise men came to give them. The wise men knew the time was nigh. They agree with Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. During the time, they saw Jesus, and they found and worshipped him. Once again, not caring for his seemingly low estate, they trusted in God's leading. They provided expensive gifts, and with that allowed Mary and Joseph, who were very poor people, to sell them and finance their trip to Egypt. Amazing how God works that way, isn't it? One of those coincidences that we keep seeing. They hearkened to God, not returning to Herod, but returning joyfully to their homeland a completely different way. Now, thank God that he will answer all that seek, and he will give them the answer and allow them to find everybody, even these pagan people coming from afar. They asked, God gave the truth. They sought, God gave them the way. And they knocked, and what happened? Mary and Joseph opened the door, and they found the life. So if you're seeking, God will answer. Now, how about the self-righteous? We see those in the form of the chief priests and the scribes. They had all the answers. They had the scriptures. They even gave Herod exactly what the answers were. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. No question about it. But the righteous do not need repentance, as they're good enough all by themselves. They look good. They sound good. They help people with the good works. What else would they need in this world or the next? Look at me. I'm doing great. The self-righteous have no need to come to the Christ child. They are too busy showing that they are good on their own to receive man's praise. Heaven, if it exists, is assured. Look at all the good I've done for society. All men praise them. They're kind of like Michael Bloomberg, who said this based on his work on gun control, obesity, and smoking. I am telling you that if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I'm heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close. That's going to be a long conversation. Christ child? I don't need Christ child. I don't even need God. Look at me. We see irony this Christmas morning. Herod went to the chief priests, the experts in all things religious. Knowing the scriptures, they told him the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. Pagan wise men likely traveled 1,000 miles from Babylon to come worship Jesus Christ. Now, he's not their Messiah. He's the Jews' Messiah. But they came to worship him. Yet these priests, who knew the time was nigh, who knew Messiah was coming, who knew that the wise men had seen a star that was pointing toward Bethlehem, knew all these things, couldn't be bothered to travel 5 miles to see if this was truly the Messiah. Why wouldn't the chief priests and the scribes go see Jesus? They were righteous and happy for their own work. Jesus said in Luke 5:32, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Praise God, I'm a sinner. Praise God, I have no value at all to him at all. And praise God, that's who he came to save. Pharisees, chief priests, and scribes were thankful they did not need repentance because they were already righteous. As Jesus said in Luke 18:9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee praised himself as he prayed with himself that he was so righteous. What did the publican do? Stood afar off, wouldn't even come near, wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven, smote his breast and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. One of those went away justified. The world would think the Pharisee did. They knew the publican. He was definitely a sinner. But that Pharisee, man, he's a great guy. He gives me the truth. He knows the Bible so well. He must be the righteous one. He's not the one who went justified. The Pharisee did. The publican did. Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners, not those who didn't need him. Praise God. Most of us here need him. I pray, God, that all of us here need him. Calling Pharisees and scribes hypocrites 4 times in Matthew 23:33, he said in verse 27, they were like whited sepulchres, beautiful on the outside, but full of dead men's bones. They were seemingly righteous on the outside, but spiritually dead on the inside. Once again, I'm a sinner. I need to come to Christ just like the shepherds did in Luke chapter 2. Don't be like the righteous priests and townspeople who saw absolutely no need. They are respectable, but they're dead on the inside. Be made alive by coming to the Christ child, admitting your need of him, and he will save you and give you his light. Now, finally, we come to the unrighteous. Now, the self-righteous may look down on lowly Christians. They may even look at you as absolutely undeserving of their attention. But for the most part, they ignore you. You can't do them any good. Why should they pay you any attention at all? But the unrighteous, on the other hand, will do everything they can to destroy Jesus Christ, even using religion to destroy religion. As Barry Lynn, head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, is an ordained minister of the United Church of Christ, he would gladly throw me in jail for preaching on the salvation, for preaching on sins of gay marriage, things like that, and he has standing because he is a religious person. Well, we look at Herod. Herod was supposed to be a religious expert. He had converted to Judaism. He had murdered many of his own family. Now he seeks to find his interloper by asking where he could find Jesus so he could go worship him. He didn't want to worship him. We saw that later. He was going to kill this interloper. Now, at this time, Herod was an old man. He died about 2 years after this. Herod was an old man. If Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was born right now, there's no way he's going to take over his kingdom. Herod would be dead long before that. But someone who's unrighteous doesn't look at that at all. Anything that might be a challenge to them, they want to get rid of. Now, when the wise man did not return, he was exceedingly wroth and ended up killing all the male children under two in Bethlehem and all the suburbs. Satan tried to use his puppet to destroy the Christ child, but God already knew the answer. God had already warned Joseph to get out of there and head to Egypt, which they did. Now, as many unrighteous followers today, Isis would kill the Christ child and every one of his followers today if they possibly could. They lived, John 16:2. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Mary Lynn with the Americans United for Separated Church tape may find themselves in that same group. Now, obedience to Bible right now bankrupts many today as they won't use their businesses to honor things that they disagree with, like gay marriage. We've seen that all over the news, where they're trying to bankrupt people right and left. That won't surprise me if a gay couple comes here fairly quickly to try to get me to marry them so they can sue me. That's the only reason they would do it. They try to use the cover of religion, saying, hey, marriage is a sacred thing, it says right in your Bible, in order to take down religious people. That's the unrighteous. With Barry Lynn, the ACLU does a lot of this. In their book, The ACLU versus America, Exposing the Agenda to Redefine Moral Values, Alan Sears and Craig Olston write this. Despite the protests of Nadine Strossman, the ACLU, and its loud allies, it is their years of lawsuits and threats that have created a climate of fear and launched a politically correct holiday season in our country. And this has censored and suppressed the rights of 96% of Americans to freely, publicly celebrate Christmas. For too many public officials, the letter ACLU generate as much genuine fear today as the initials of police agencies in some totalitarian countries. Have any doubts? Try to go start a prayer on Main Street today. You'll see how quick the police will get on your case. Now, we, every one of us here, are joyful at the birth of this Christ child. The unrighteous thought that they were joyful at his death. In Matthew 26:59, the chief priests, elders, and the council sought false witnesses to put Jesus to death. Once again, irony. Here it is, these religious people, these righteous people in their own eyes, the people that everyone looks up to as being arbiters of religion, are seeking to violate the ninth commandment so they can put Jesus Christ to death. Does anyone follow the irony there? They will do everything they can to destroy him because they do not want him there. They do not want him to usurp their authority. So they will lie, cheat, steal, and everything else to show how righteous they are. Praise God. Jesus let the unrighteous win a battle so that he could win the war and defeat death eternally by his resurrection. And that by faith, we can have that same victory. The unrighteous, make no mistake, will continue to persecute his followers until Satan is put forevermore in the lake of fire. So, as you remember the gifts that you give your loved ones today, as you receive the gifts that your loved one gives to you, remember Romans 6:28. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Once again, I'm a hellbound sinner. Jesus was sent by God as a gift to redeem me. He is the reason for this season. He is the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And every one of us here has been offered that gift. But you have to receive it. You have to take it. If you don't take it, I talked about last night. If you don't take it, it's not yours, and you offend the one who's trying to give it to you. We have eternal life as his joint heir, Jesus Christ's joint heir, if we accept that gift. Seeing the Christ child lying in a manger, I am humbled that my Creator God condescended to my low estate, that he sent his Son to walk as lowly man to show me God beyond my comprehension. If you look at the book of 1 John, a lot of 1 John is written, he is absolutely amazed at the same thing. God came, walked among us? Why, you might ask? And then you see the love, and that's why the apostles were willing to serve him right to the death, every single one of them. By accepting the gift, I am lifted up to heaven. He gave you his death to pay for your sins. With that gift, give a gift back to him. Romans 12:1 says, make yourself a living sacrifice as your reasonable service. That is the gift you are to give back to him. Looking at the people in Matthew's account, we see the four types of people. The righteous serve Jesus. The seeking righteous want to find Jesus. The self-righteous have no need for Jesus, And the unrighteous try to kill Jesus. If you are righteous today, you're made so by the blood of Christ. Give him thanks for that unspeakable gift. Tell others about the gift offered to all sinners. If you are seeking Jesus, pray that he sends you more light. Pray that he continues to guide you in that direction. He will give you that light as long as you are seeking. He may stop it for a while for his own purposes, whatever those purposes are. He stopped it for the wise men so that they could announce the birth to all of Jerusalem. But then take his gift, give him thanks, and serve him. If you are self-righteous, relying on your own goodness to make eternity, Jesus calls you a hypocrite. You're beautiful on the outside, maybe, with all your good works, but you're dead on the inside. Ask for light before it's too late. Once you get that light, accept it. Now is the day of salvation. He's returning pretty soon. Once he returns, it's too late. Answer's already made. Make it today. If you're unrighteous, be like Saul. See the undeniable evidence of Jesus Christ out there. Become a modern-day Paul, changing your life to serve him. So we'll close looking at the actual birth of Jesus Christ, the story you're very familiar with, and then we'll go home and realize what the reason is for the season, why we give the gifts, and then accept the greatest gift of all. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And his taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As we go home and enjoy our Christmas with our family, he's told us these things. He's revealed these things to us. Let us go today glorifying and praising God for all the things we have heard and seen that God has given us. And thank God, if you're saved today, that you have been made a son or daughter of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift you can possibly have. With that, realizing what we are, realizing what Jesus did, and realizing we have to come to the Christ child, turn in your hymn books to hymn 302, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. I will arise and go to Jesus. We see that in this story. Who rose and went to Jesus? The shepherds, when they were told. Poor, ignorant men out there being faithful, tending their flocks. Pagans from afar, very rich, very learned. Anyone can come to Jesus. Absolutely anybody. In fact, a lot of the chief priests did eventually, Nicodemus in John 3. So anyone that comes will be accepted. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past, because he came to take those sins. If anybody here has never taken that free gift, never accepted that free gift, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait until he returns. Don't wait until you're killed somehow on this earth here. Make it today. So we go to prayer. Ask God to show you his truth, show you what he wants you to do this year. And then thank him for the great gift that he's given you with his son. And then determine what you're going to give him in return in service for this next year. So as she plays one more, let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll close this when she's done. Heavenly Father, the gift you've given us is beyond my comprehension. Why you would even consider man with all we've done to turn our back on you, and yet not only considering man, you sent your son to die on the cross for us, to take our penalty, take our sins. Lord, when I arose and went to Jesus, I came as a beggar seeking bread. And you in turn gave me the bread of life. You in turn brought me into the palace. You in turn made me a son of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, part owner of heaven. And you offer that to absolutely everybody on earth. And Lord, it is a gift. It is a gift that can only be accepted, not paid for, not earned, nothing at all that would cause any debt, but only accepted. And Lord, you offer it to everybody here. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here who has not received that gift yet, not accepted it, you would give them the light. Have them seek and give them the light that they may see the beauty of Jesus Christ. They may glorify him and glorify the Father by accepting that gift, realizing their need. And then, Lord, give themselves, as Romans 12:1 says, a living sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable service. Let us give ourselves as gifts to be used any way you see fit this year, Lord, that your name may be glorified. Let us go home just with absolute joy in the fact that we are brethren, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, joint heirs one with the other, and absolute joy that you have loved us so much to allow this to happen. We ask all of your precious sons in your name. Amen.